Well, we've started a series talking about love, and I want to continue to talk about that. You know, it is what we are to be known for. Love is the, you know, the Bible's clear. You know what? You know, now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest thing is love. And it's what we are to be known for. It's what we are commanded to do. It's so jugular to our Christianity. And it's so, one of the things that love is not selfish. So that goes so contradictory to what our society says. I don't have this up on the screen, but just listen to this passage. This is in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Actually, guys, if you could put that up on the screen, I'm going to teach on that more longer than I thought I was. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter, thank you. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. See, you are royalty. Amen. You know? I know sometimes, you know what, your kids might not treat you like royalty. Amen. But you need to walk around like you are royalty. Amen. Here's why, because that's what you are. Amen. And we sometimes think, well, you ain't just nothing. You know what, I'm just from Pico Rivera. Well, you're from a lot more than Pico Rivera. Amen. First of all, watch it, you know, bagging on Pico Rivera. Amen. You know, one of the best churches in the nation is in Pico Rivera. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Amen. You know what? The best people I know live in Pico Rivera. Somebody say amen to that. If you don't live in Pico Rivera, that doesn't mean you're not awesome. I'm just saying. You know what? But you are not just from Pico Rivera. You were, you know what, from heaven. I'm telling you what, you have been born again. See, and it's so weird to preach this because people have such, even from the church, people have gotten such a beat down, you know what, mentality. So you talk like this, people, even Christian people, start looking at you like, what you talking about? I'm just telling you what the Bible, I'm just telling what Peter, revealed by the Holy Spirit, knew. And he said, let me tell you who you are. You are of royalty. Amen. You are a son. You have been born, you know, you haven't been born of, I mean, you were born of corruptible seed, but now you're born of incorruptible seed. How many born again? Well, you were born again. You know what I mean? You were born of incorruptible seed. Your father is perfect. And so you have his spirit. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside you. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. This is a good translation. The New King James The King James says you are a peculiar people. And when the King James was written, English was different. How many know that's true? That's why, you know what? You don't say, you know what? Lettuce, thou goeth and gettest some lettuce. You don't talk like that anymore, right? Isn't that right? It's different. And so back then, peculiar didn't mean like, it had a lot of meanings, but one of the meanings it had was that you were separated unto God. Amen. Which, even in the English even in the current understanding of English, I'm going somewhere with this, that makes us peculiar. Which is exactly where that's why I started here, because we are called to walk in love.
Oh, come on. Amen.
And let me tell you what, in that case, that is peculiar. That is unusual. That is supernatural. And we're going to look today about the commandment to walk in love, but then we're going to look at the degree, somebody say the degree, of which you're called to walk in love. How many know there's different degrees of importance in things? You know what? So, you know, you come in and the stove is on. You know, how many know that's important to turn that stove off? You know, you're not going to forget that, are you? But even if the stove is left on, how many know that's different than if you come in and the curtains are on fire? You know, somebody walks in and the stove is, you know, left on. They're like, oh, man, I got to turn off the stove. Who left it on? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You're going to turn it off. But you come in and the curtains are on fire. How many of you are going to go, gosh, who lit up the curtains? You know what I mean? Probably ought to get some water. You know, let's take. How many know is completely different? I believe that. This commandment of love, it's the purpose tonight that I want to show you through the Word of God that this is not a minor thing to God. And yet, I think in the body of Christ, well, I know I talk to couples a lot. I know that. But let me tell you why I do that at this church. And this is important that you understand this church. Your church is a special church. And one of the reasons it's important is because we do a lot of very purposeful teaching on to couples.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you're single, don't be offended, because I guarantee you there's application for you.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen. You ever do you have somebody in the family that just like you when you're going to Christmas, you're thinking, oh, man, I hope they get sick, because I don't, you know what I mean? I would never say that. I know you'd never say that, but I'm not talking about what you say. I'm talking about what you think. You know what I mean? Does anybody have, you don't have to raise your hand. Okay. But, you know, we all have people in the family. So even if you're single, trust me, there's application. But marriage is an interesting thing in that it can drive you crazy. Nobody wants to say amen to that. I'm just saying. Why? Because you are thrown into, you know, raise your hand if you live in the same household with your spouse. Raise your hand if you say, okay. Yeah, exactly. You get married, you know, like, okay, let's get an apartment. You know what I mean? Okay, yeah, you get, you know, apartment, you know, A, and I'll get apartment, you know, Z. Amen. I mean, you know, if you imagine if you went to, you know what, you have your wife and you know, your spouse, and you're looking at an apartment, and you know what, the guy's showing you this apartment, and you say, and then he says, and you say, hey, do you have any other, this is a nice apartment, do you have any other ones? And then he says, yeah, actually, we do have another one, but you know what, it's not ready yet. You know what I mean? Is there some reason you don't like this one? No, this one's fine. I just, where's she going to live? I mean, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? But that's what makes marriage, you know what, interesting, because, you know what, spicy. That's what, because you are living together. And you're living together with a very, very broken person. Hello. How many would agree that you're living with a broken person? Okay, you just are. Okay. Here's the thing. Okay, for all of those who raised your hand, you're the broken person. Amen. And yes, you know what? I'm broken. You're broken. Both are broken, and that's what makes it hard. You know, how many know? And Jesus would discipline you, but how many know if you had Jesus as a roommate, you're a pretty good roommate to have. You know what I mean? I mean, he might bother you a little bit getting up early to pray. You know what I mean? But besides that, you know what I mean? I know Jesus is, and I don't mean that in any disrespect. That's on you. You know what I mean? But how many know, you know, this is what marriage about. This is what, and so if you're married, you know what? You got to understand this walking in love, it's not a good suggestion. And for those of you who are single, you know what? This walking in love is not a good suggestion. But I want you to notice this, because this is so important that we understand. See, oh my goodness, this is, look at your neighbor and say, this is going to be so good tonight. We are special. And we are peculiar, and we're peculiar not only because we have this great relationship with God, but we have the Holy Spirit that is, we're going to look at it in a minute, that has been poured out into our hearts. So that enables us to be different than them.
Yes, amen, Pastor, amen.
Somebody say, I need to be different. I need to be different. I need to act different. I need to speak different. I need to think different. I need to, I should be the kindest woman in the city. Yeah. You should be the kindest man. You know what? On your block, in your city, in your state. You know what? I mean, you ought to. And here's why. Here's why. Here's why. You ready for it? Because you're his own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his light. Is that what it says?
No,
it says into his what? See, you are peculiar, you're different, you are born again. You are not born of corruptible seed. You are out of, you know what? You were born into darkness, but now you've been reborn into his marvelous light. I mean, I'm not trying to be braggadocious. I'm just saying, you know what? When I worked at Lucky's in Newport Beach, you know what? Of course, Tamara, I irritated Tamara. You know what? Why? She's used to everybody else. I was like, you know, how's your day? Who's got time to talk that way? Amen. I said, who's got time to talk that way? I don't got no time for this. I don't have time to talk that way. You know what? I got so many good things going on in my life. And you know what? And I have for a long, 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 long time. Amen.
Amen.
We said, well, you know what, you lived in Newport Beach. What are you talking about? You lived on a balcony. That was my bedroom. My bedroom was a balcony. Well, praise God. I lived in a balcony, amen, in Newport Beach. Can somebody say amen? Do you understand? See, that's always been my mentality. And I'm not special because I'm special. I'm special because God made me special. And if He made me, and He made you special too. Oh, listen, all the, you know what, well, you know what, you're not tall enough, or you know what, you're not skinny enough, or you're not smart enough. You're perfect, amen? I mean, no, not perfect, but God made you just the way He likes you, amen? But you've been called out of darkness. You don't have to act like they act. You don't have to be snippy and snotty and short and angry and irritable. Amen? You don't have to be that way. Why? Because you are in His marvelous light. Listen, this isn't just this isn't just a bumper for a bumper sticker. You know, ooh, let's make a bumper sticker. I'm in His marvelous light. No, this ain't about a bumper sticker. This is about living life in reality in a dark place where you can be. The Bible says that that light isn't made to be put under down. It's to be made to be up high on a lampstand where others can see. Your calling to walk in love is not only that. Let me tell you what. You walk in love, you'll be a lot happier. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But it's not only for you, but it's for other people around you. You don't listen. You could fool, you know, you ever heard this adage? I don't know if you heard this. You could fool some of the people some of the time. But you can't fool anybody if they go over to your house. See, I'm not trying to be cheery, you know what, to get Tamara saved. Amen? I'm just acting like the born-again person I am. Amen? Does the Bible not tell us to finally, brethren, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is a good report, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. How do you think you're going to act if all you're doing is thinking and meditating? Somebody say meditating, because that's what it says. Yeah, how do you think you're going to act walking into work and all you've done, how do you think you're going to walk into work on Monday? If all you've done all weekend is just meditate on the goodness of God. You're just going to walk in, man, what you happy about? I don't even know. I'm just happy. Do you understand? That's what you're called. That's who you are. You've been called out of darkness. And this predominantly is talking about how you live. And predominantly, the one characteristic that you should be manifesting in your life above everything else is that you love people. Amen. Amen. How many feel convicted already? Come on, I'm asking. Okay. Good. Praise God. How many came to church to change? How many came to church just to stay the same? How many came to church just to hear another message that you know what you're not going to do anything about? Oh, good. No hands up. Amen. How many want to come to church and change? Amen. All right. So I just want you to see it in Romans. Oh, man. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Hey guys in the back, you got to follow me because I don't know why this isn't going to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been, we spent 2 weeks on this, poured. Somebody say poured. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, I got the love of God. See, there's this thought, well, you know, you can't. I'm going to go over how high this commandment is. And you've got to understand, you've got to get rid of the, I can't. I'm so mad. I'm so upset. I'm so frustrated. You know what I mean? Yes. Craziness. Why? Because the love of God has been poured in your heart. Yes. Amen. So that's how come you ought to act and walk in love. Because the love of God, the love of God. The love of God. Yeah, but they make me so mad. They don't make your spirit mad. You know your spirit doesn't get mad at anybody. You ever been on the phone to that crazy person at Target who just like you're like, why in the world did they put you in customer service? You know, you ought to be working night crew where you don't ever talk to anybody, okay? Right? Have you ever been on the phone to that person? Okay. I'm not saying that part of you doesn't want to just go through the phone and just go, or, you know, take that phone and just pound their head. I'm not saying that part of you doesn't want to do that. I'm telling you, the spirit doesn't ever want to do that. Your spirit is, you know what? Your spouse gets you upset. Your neighbor gets you upset. You know what? The spirit of God ain't upset at anybody. Amen. So I just want to remind you that this can be done. Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, this is possible.
This is possible.
Well, how? The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. See, we listen to even Christian preachers who are going to sit there and tell you, well, you know what, everybody sins sometimes. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus didn't. So you listen to this kind of teaching and you're like, I don't even know whether I should say amen. Well, you should, because Jesus is our example.
Oh, amen.
Amen? See, how many of you parents, you'd like your kids to get straight A's? I said, how many would like your kids to get straight A's? Okay. I didn't ask how many got straight A's. I said, how many would like your kids to get straight A's? You know what? Well, does anybody tell your kids, you know what, it's okay. D's are okay. You know, at least they're not F's. You know what I mean? You ever tell your child that? Absolutely not. And we understand, and I understand, that there's different levels, you know what I mean, of you know, certain kids do better in school and certain kids do, you know, in others. I understand that. All I'm saying was, with whatever your kids do, you are looking for them to do it with excellence, are you not? I mean, how many don't want lazy kids? Let's make it simple. You know, you're like, oh, well, you know what? You know, I mean, they've been sleeping in, you know, till 1 o'clock. You're like, oh, you know, here's the good news. At least, you know, your room's a mess, but at least you got some rest. You know, 14 hours is a little too much rest. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. But this is what God is saying to us. It's a standard, but he tells us, here's the standard, but he says, but don't forget, you've been called out of darkness. Don't forget, I poured my Holy Spirit into you. Now, that's very foundational to where we're going, but I you need to see that before. Wow, this is so weird. It's like one behind. But I outsmarted it, okay? So, look at Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reason together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments. Listen to the first one. Listen to what it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. He's saying every aspect of who you are, you ought to love God that way. Every aspect. This is the first commandment. Watch this. And the second commandment is like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these. Listen, church, this is these are the two greatest commandments, to love God and to love others, to love God wholly, completely, with your mind, with your soul, with your body, with your spirit, every aspect of who you are, with your strength, to love God completely and adamantly.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know why I never, and you're like, oh, you know what? Are you getting mad at me for missing church? I'm just giving a testimony to you. You know what I mean? Don't get mad at me because I have this testimony, okay? You know why I never miss church?
Come on.
I mean, I haven't missed church in, I can't even remember the last time I missed church. Why don't I miss church? Because I love God. Well, you don't have to love God to love church. Just like, you know what? We get so defensive, amen. Church is a place that we come together and worship God together. And I don't care what society says. I don't even care listen. Just because you have friends who call themselves Christians, it doesn't mean they're Christians. Amen? Yeah. Just because you have friends who will give you advice, doesn't mean it's smart advice. Amen? And by the way, you know what? You don't need to make judgment on whether they are or not. I'm just saying, you know what? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. You know what? But you got all kinds of people giving you advice, trying to say what's really, really important. I'm telling you, the Bible says in the end, the Bible talks about that we need to not forsake the gathering, and specifically, you know what, at the end. I don't know about you, but I believe we are at the end of the end of the end. And why do we need to stay together? We need to stay together and come to church and be encouraged. Encourage what? Encourage to be in love with Jesus. Why? Because it is the first commandment. It is absolutely imperative. And I need to put that in over and over again. What's the second commandment? Second commandment, and look at the, not just love your neighbor, but love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. My wife likes to sleep with the fan on. Well, you know what? I don't know. It's going to be, you know what? It's going to be, yeah, tonight, you know, it's going to be, at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's going to be 58 degrees. At 5 in the morning, it's going to be 57. 6 a.m., 57. You know what? That's, it's you know, 3. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, all these hours of this below 60 stuff coming in. Amen? I got up the other night. I'm like, man, why am I? It didn't even dawn on me. I'm like, man, why am I having a hard time sleeping? And then I went to the living room and I grabbed a blanket, and man, I just went to bed. So simple. And then the next day I recognize, I know why I'm having a hard time sleeping. Because it's freezing in here. Amen. That's why. I got this revelation. Here's all I'm saying. I don't listen. I'm going to make sure we got some blankets on my bed tonight. Right? Why? Because the fan's going to be on. Because I don't just go, oh, it's cool, whatever. I mean, listen, I keep it on. Praise the Lord. Matter of fact, I got all happy this morning because the fan broke. And confess your sin before men. That's what the Bible said. Actually, it didn't break. Just the knob came off, but I couldn't find it. But I'll find it tonight, and I'll put it on, and I'll turn the fan on. But I will get a blanket. I'll get two blankets. Why? Here's why. Because I love myself. You cater to yourself all the time. And the Bible says, you know what? You ought to love your neighbor like yourself. It's a high commandment. It's not just a little thing. I think in the body of Christ, we have made this love commandment. It's like, you know what? I Joyce Meyer really helped me with this. You know what? She said, you know what? We find it so easy to love people that are easy to love. But there's other people that we just want to discard. And God, I don't know who this is for. Listen to me. And God has put those people in your life to do two things. To show the love of God to them. And to chip away a bunch of the carnality in you. Amen. 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 John. Oh, yeah, I got to go ahead. John. Wait, did I go to... Oh, my goodness. I got to try to figure all this. Well, we were in Mark? Okay. Matthew, thank you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 34. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor as your, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Listen to what Jesus says. But I say to you, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. You know what? And persecute you. Oh, that's a good... How many know that scripture? How many know? Raise your hand if you know that scripture. Okay, let me tell you what. That is a commandment of God. Oh, come on, amen. That's not if you feel like it. That's not... You know what? When you're in a good mood, that is your... That's what you are to do. Amen. Period. That's just how you're supposed to act. And this thought, well, you know what? We all make mistakes, or we all... You know what I mean? All this... You know what? The Bible says, give no place to Satan. Start understanding the commandment. This is a commandment. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the degree that you're to love them. This thought of, yeah, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. God, Jesus says, No. You have the love of God's been poured in your hearts. So I could never do that. Stop saying that. Stop thinking that. Your thinking is stopping you from being obedient to God's commandments. So change how you think. And you'll change what you say. And you'll change how you act. And then you'll start. You know what? I'm telling you what. Christians, some of them are some of the most miserable people walking on the face of this earth. And here's why. Because they won't do what God has commanded them to do. They're upset with that person and upset with this person and mad at this family member and ticked off. You know what? All this irritation, and I understand it. Because we live in a carnal world. And people aren't nice. And you can just fall into this trap. Jesus says, no, don't do that. His commandments are not burdensome. When Jesus says, love your enemies, it's not only that you would express the love of God to somebody who doesn't like you, but that you would get his, you know, loving your enemy is as much for you as it is for your enemy. Oh, come on, amen. Because God wants to get you out of that dark place. Watch this. It just gets better. That you may be sons of your Father. This is how a son acts. Like his dad. In heaven. For he makes us He makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. What is he saying? Man, we sometimes need to study the scripture. Amen. What is he saying in correlation with what he says? Because he doesn't just say, love your enemy as yourself. He doesn't just say that. He says, love your enemy as yourself. And then he says that you might be sons of your Father in heaven, for this is how God acts. He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. How many ever seen just a beautiful sunset? It's just absolutely gorgeous. You're like, oh, that's so awesome. Guess what? You know what? I'm just saying this that you understand. Your idiot boss could have seen this. I saw the same thing. Amen? I mean, that person at work that just irritates you to no end, they, God says, yeah, they're snotty. But here, I'm going to give him something nice anyway. Amen? See, and the Bible says, hey, you're a son of the Father. You ought to act like Daddy. Amen? Look how Daddy acts. Daddy doesn't say, oh, only for these people, but not for these people. That's how he does. Why? Because he loves godly people and he loves ungodly people. And that's how we ought to act. What a great example he gives us, right? And sends rain. How many like the rain, man? It's just like, oh, this is so nice. Okay. Well, Jesus sends the rain. Amen. You know, raindrops are falling on your head, but they're also falling on the head of people that you don't like. Amen. Watch this. It just gets better. Look at this. So powerful. Man, the scripture, is the scripture good or what? Man, it just cuts our heart, gets all that out. Don't you love it? For if you love those who love you, what reward have you?
That's right.
Whoa, whoa. Come on, Richie. Walking around. Ooh, you know what? You know, you think you're all that in a bag of chips because the person who takes you to the you know what, the angel game. Hey, just if you're the Dodger fan, just recognize this. This is true. If you're a Dodger fan, there has been no other team. You have the best team for the last 2 years.
Amen.
Some of you, this is going to ring in a minute. No other team has been in the World Series for 2 years in a row, except the Dodgers. You're like, Pastor, why doesn't that make me feel any better? I'm trying. Okay, I'm trying. You know what? I'm trying. What? That's right. It's factual, though, too. Okay. So all I'm saying is, you know what? That you think it's something because somebody took you to a Dodger game, gave you a free seat, and you think it's something because you paid for parking. Oh, let me get parking. Oh, whoa. Whoopie-doo-dah. Aren't you special? Guys, to be nice to somebody who's nice to you, you know what? God's like, huh? I'm sorry. Look what he says. What reward do you have? Really, think about it. You're not rocking it when you're nice to people who are nice to you. You're not rocking it. Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Tax collectors back in that day were especially hated because they would come up with their own stuff. You know, they're like, oh, you know what, the yellow, orangey shoe tax, you know what I mean? You know what, the Sozo, you know what, hoodie tax. You know what I mean? They're like, there's no Sozo hoodie tax. Oh, there is today, you know what I mean? And those people got so, you know what I mean? They were, and so people really hated them. Well, he says, even these immoral people like their buddies. See, we're different. We're different. We have the love of God poured in our hearts. God expects more from you because more has been given. You have been born of incorruptible seed. So what do you act? Why are you acting like them? Because you don't have to do that. Why? Because you have a Holy Spirit living inside of you. Amen. Amen. Watch this. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Huh. Did you know where that scripture was? See, it's right there in this correlation. Well, let's look at it. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father is perfect. Amen. See, I was taught this a long time ago. Powerful scriptures that become more powerful when you put them in the context of what they are. Amen. This is a powerful scripture. You know what? Therefore, be perfect just as your Father is perfect. Just a powerful scripture of calling up to start walking in God's holiness. And this scripture is in the same paragraph that Jesus is talking about, love your enemies. Because God puts sun on the evil people, gives them rain, and then he says, just like God did, I want you to act like your Father. And some, you know what, theologian says, yeah, but that's in the Greek, that word, that's a bad translation. It doesn't mean perfect. What that means is it really means complete. Okay. Can I talk freely to somebody? Be careful that you're not impressed with someone who knows the Greek, who can get, and all you have to do to know the Greek is get out a concordance. It doesn't take rocket science. Who can get out a concordance but can't exegete the passage. Somebody who says, if somebody's going to tell you on the radio, you know what, that doesn't mean perfect. Even if you're just looking at the verse itself, just exegete the verse itself. You know what you're going to find? Translate it that way. Therefore, you should be complete, just as your Father is complete. Do you understand? You can't get away of the purpose of it. And then when you look at the whole passage talking about acting like your Father, you know what he's saying? Hey, guys, pay attention to your Father, because your Father doesn't just give the rain to the godly farmers and not to the ungodly. And we're not saying that there's not a reaping and sowing principle that takes place on this earth. We're not saying that. But what we're saying, what God is showing you is, hey, guys, everything that God has said before is the same thing he's saying here. Jesus is saying, hey, you need to act like your Father in heaven. So you need to be nice to people who are not nice to you, because your Father sends rain to people who aren't nice. Amen. Then to cap it off, he just sums it up in a verse, and he says this: be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is a wow. And God says, hey guys, and I've got to stop, but listen, God says this: hey guys, this is not a happy suggestion when you get around to it, if you feel like it. You know what Paul says? Paul says, I beat my flesh. You know, sometimes you got to tell your flesh what to do. Can you say amen? Sometimes you got to tell your mouth. You know what? Hey, mouth, just shut up. Amen. I think I told you this Sunday, you know what? So good for you, so good for you. You know what? I take a hot jacuzzi. When I say hot, I mean hot, like really, really hot. And then as fast as I can, I get up and I run over and I jump into our pool. Why do you do that? Why isn't your pool getting cold? Yeah, it is. Amen. Why do I do that? Because when you do that, you can look up the health benefits from it. But one of the things it does to you, just circulation, oh, it's so good for you. And I lay in bed and I just go, oh, I can feel my arms. I can feel my legs. I can feel how good it is for me. But you think my body wants to do that? Wouldn't it be easier to get out of that hot jacuzzi and just get in a towel and go to bed and just, you know what I mean? Well, you know, kind of not my room because my room's freezing, but anyway. But you understand? Why do you do that? Because, you've got to recognize if all you do is what your flesh tells you to do, your flesh is going to get you in a heap of trouble. How many of his flesh has ever gotten them in trouble? I'm not going to ask you details, okay? Hands up all over. Absolutely. Why? Because we listened. See, there's just times that you need to say, no, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to not listen to my flesh. I'm going to listen to my spirit. Amen. Now, let me tell you what will happen. You're about to live a good life. I'll close with this story. Had a good friend. He was a youth pastor, and he had this young kid in his youth group. And this kid said, "You know what?" Came up to him and said, "You know what, Pastor Jay? You know, I don't know why. You know what? But all my bosses are they just don't know what's going on." He's like, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I can't believe it. You know what? I got fired again." He said, "You did?" And he said, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, I was flipping the burgers, and you know what? I mean, everybody knows, you know what? You're supposed to do it like this." He says, "Well, did your boss tell you to do it that way?" "No, he's an idiot. I did it like he told me to do it a completely different way, but he don't know what he's talking about." And he asked the guy. He's trying to get at the foolishness out of this kid. You know, he says, "Hey, well, tell me what happened. Did you get fired in the job before that?" "Yeah, that boss was an idiot too." He said, "What happened?" "Well, told me to do that." "I'm not going to do that. That's just a dumb way to do it. I don't know." You know what I mean? He says, "What about the job before that? Did you get fired on that job?" He said, yeah. "Why did you get fired?" "Well, you know what? Because he told me to do it, but I did this." You know, and he's like, "Hey, are you noticing a pattern here?" See, could we not be fired because we do what the Bible says? Be slow to speak. That's just one example of a situation where you're not going to walk in the wisdom of God, and so you're going to step into the full. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he'll throw your flesh, you know, all the time. You know, do that or do that. I mean, you know what? Men who just weeping and crying and just absolutely broken because their wife is leaving them for a one-night stand. You know, women that get pregnant, you know, this is deep. You know, you can get pregnant from a one-night stand.
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know that.
Come on.
You know, all this heartache. Let me tell you what, God's commandments are not burdensome. And his number one commandment is that you walk in love. Let me tell you what, love never fails. You know, for some of you married people, you need to start walking in love with your spouse. I didn't say, "How's your spouse treating you?" I said, "You need to walk in love with your spouse." Amen.
Amen.
"Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to change when they change." Oh, my goodness. You know what I mean? No. We are to not treat people the way they treat us. We are to be, somebody say, "I'm going to be proactive." See, I'm purposeful. I decide what I'm going to do. You know, this ain't no baseball game.
Come on.
You know, you don't have to play the ball that's hit to you. You can wake up in the morning and say, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do." You know, for all the times, has the Holy Spirit ever spoken to somebody, you know what, and really spoken to you and cut you in the heart?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's the day that you need to start changing and start recognizing. Because I love what John Bevere says. John Bevere says, every time the word is preached, you will live changed.
Yes.
And you're going to live changed in two ways. Either you're going to receive what he has for you, Can I tell you what? Church can be a wonderful place. But can I tell you something else? Church can be a scary place. Here's why. Because people think that they are changed from the hearing of the word. And that's not where change comes. Change comes from acting on what God said. That's a important nuance. So you can walk out. Oh, that was what Pastor teach on? Taught on love, man. Love your enemies. Taught me on this. Awesome. But with no application, and it's easy that the word, you start thinking that you've been changed because you came to church. Now listen, if we're talking about coming to church or not coming to church, you know what? I mean, at least y'all have a shot, right? Amen. People who stayed home tonight, you know what, to give Snicker bars to the little gremlins, you know what I mean? I mean, they don't even have a shot, right? Right? That was kind of a... But all I'm saying is, but just because you came doesn't mean your life's going to be changed. That's why the Bible says you're blessed in what you do. And there's something about doing something that helps you to do it more. That helps you to do it more. That helps you to do it more. Is that right? Has anybody ever lost some weight? You ever lost some weight? Okay. And you lost some weight and somebody tells you, man, you lost some weight. You're looking good. How many does that encourage you to eat broccoli the next night? You're just saying, man, this broccoli's awful, but not too bad. You know what I mean? All of a sudden you're, you know what? Listen, the more you do, the easier it is to do. And then you do more, and then you start life. Your life starts spiraling up and better. So the Bible says you go from faith to faith, to glory to glory. And I'm not saying it all gets perfect overnight, but I'm telling you what, obedience to the word of God, you know, people against, you know, what they perceive as the, oh, that's prosperity doctrine. Hello? The whole Bible is full of it. Amen? That there are reward. If you will be willing and obedient, you're going to eat the fat of the land. Don't argue with me on that. That is absolutely the truth. Amen. I'm not talking about, you know what, we're all going to be driving, you know, I don't care what you drive. You know what I mean? Right. It's not about a numeric thing. It's about a happiness inside your heart. Yes. And you're going to have it when you stop listening to your flesh and start doing what God is telling you to do. Amen. That's when you're going to live in. I mean, you're just going to walk into Lucky's happy. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And then you're going to get happier and happier and happier. And I'm not saying your life's going to be perfect, but because the Bible says the storm's going to come. But when the storm comes, you're just like, whoa, wow, a storm. But your house is on a rock, and the storm can't shake it. You will know it's a storm, but your life won't be shaken from the storm.
That's right.
Come on. Amen. Amen. Someone learned something tonight. Father, we thank you that we are the ones that walk in love. We are the ones that are kind at times that people are not kind to us. We are sweet to people who aren't sweet to us. We are patient with people who really don't deserve any patience, but they do because you say they do. We want to be purposeful, God. Help us to walk in love and walk in your kindness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Amen.